Hello and welcome to this special science podcast from the 2011 AAAS Annual Meeting in Washington, D.C. It's February 18th. I'm Robert Frederick. The theme of this year's meeting is Science Without Borders, and in this short podcast, we'll hear about talking across borders, bilingualism, and whether speaking two languages improves one's brain. There are a lot of adult training programs for learning languages.
Some are much better than others. They range from gimmickry to really cognitively based.
Amy Weinberg works at the Center for Advanced Study of Languages at the University of Maryland, College Park. And at a press conference this morning, Weinberg said that a lot of factors go into one's ability to learn a second language, including having a good ear for sounds.
It's not a myth, and in fact, in our high lab, we demonstrated that auditory acuity is one of the predictive factors for reaching the summit, by which we mean very high-level proficiency as measured by an objective scale. It's a lot of factors. It's acuity. It's the ability to inhibit and attend to what's important and filter out things that are not important. It's working memory and a variety of those kind of tasks.
And there are ways to improve those capacities, with research suggesting that people who have two languages are better able to focus on one at a time, and so even learn yet a third or fourth language.
What my center has done has shown through studies with bi and trilinguals that the bilingual experience is helpful.
And getting that bilingual experience from an early age.
I love the question, what can we learn by watching babies?
Janet Werker studies psychology at the University of British Columbia and also spoke at the press conference.
And one of the things that babies have is the luxury of time and attention. They don't have to get to work and take children to daycare and things like that. And so they get the opportunity to really focus on the task at hand. And I think that that's one thing that we can learn is to, if we want to learn a second language, is to set time aside to really allow that to happen. I think the second thing that we can learn is the kind of sort of perceptual attentiveness that they have maintained as a function of growing up bilingual. Again, although executive function is more important to bilingual acquisition later in life, I think that we're seeing the roots of that in very early infancy. And so their ability to switch attention and focus on the properties of each of two languages simultaneously is something that I think that some of the adult training programs are already including.
Though measuring executive functions, such as adapting to changing situations, anticipating outcomes, or discriminating between languages, is a little harder to measure in babies compared to adults.
So we work with babies as soon as they're born, so within hours after birth, and we continue working with them up till they're about 20 months of age. So what we do is we show babies video images of three bilingual speakers, three women who are bilingual in French and English, accent-free in each language, and they just see these women talking. So it's like, okay? So they watch their faces, and they see the same three women speaking new sentences over and over and over again. And what happens for babies, or for all of us, when we see something over and over and over again, we learn what we can from it, and we get bored, and we'd like to do something else. So their looking time declines. And once their looking time declines to a certain point, we say they've habituated. And then we show them either these same three faces reciting yet new sentences in the same language, or these same three faces reciting new sentences in the opposite language, and we measure their looking time. And if babies can discriminate the change, if they can tell the difference, they'll show a recovery in looking time that's bigger to the change in language than to new sentences within the same language, and that's what we see. Now, in terms of what features they're using, we're also looking at that. It's not completed yet, but what we think they're using is, first of all, it goes back to the sound. What accompanies the sounds of language are different lip shapes. So French, for example, has many more rounded vowels. One of my friends say, it looks like French people are always kissing you, than does English. So they can track that, and similarly, English has a TH sound. that you don't see in visual fringe. So that's one piece of information that we have evidence that babies are paying attention to. But they may also be paying attention to the simple rhythm of your jaw opening and closing and the whole sort of ensemble of muscle movements in the face.
So while there is evidence that multilingualism influences learning, brain function, and brain structure, so far, the evidence that multilingualism improves the brain is in a person's ability to focus, switch tasks, ignore distracting information, such as a mispronounced word, but that improvement in cognitive control applies in areas beyond just language and throughout one's life. This has been a special science podcast from the 2011 AAAS Annual Meeting in Washington, D.C. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write us at sciencepodcast@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Magazine. Jeffrey Cook composed the music, and I'm Robert Frederick. On behalf of Science Magazine and its publisher, AAAS, the Science Society, thanks for joining us.